Model Test 14.
Section A. Directions. In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, 1 or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center. Now, let's begin with the 8 short conversations.
Question 11.
Hello, Mr. White. I submitted my scholarship application last Monday, and I am wondering why I was rejected. Oh, I am Jolene Wilde from the engineering faculty.
Well, I've read it. That's a good personal statement, especially about your academic performance. But I'm afraid you did not enclose your recommendation letter.
Why was the woman rejected according to the man?
Question 12.
I live in Washington, D.C. Where do you live?
I'm now in Chicago, Illinois. I used to live in Tokyo, the capital city of Japan. Washington is the capital of the United States, isn't it?
Where did the woman before live? Question 13. I have to go to class because I have a test, but if I could, I'd go with you to Tom's birthday party.
That's too bad. I wish that you could come along.
Where is the man going?
Question 14. I'm afraid Dr. Anderson won't be able to see you then. His appointment book is filled for the next couple of weeks.
Oh, but I don't have to see him. I can just leave my teeth in his office and he can look at them when he has time. They are false teeth.
What is Dr. Anderson?
Question 15.
Did you read in the paper about the robber at the art museum? He cut one of Picasso's paintings from its frame and walked out with it right under the guards' noses.
Yeah, that's a great deal of nerve.
What does the woman imply?
Question 16. Oh dear, you needn't have waited for so long a time. Haven't you seen my note?
If I had checked the mailbox, I would have found your note.
What does the woman mean?
Question 17. Didn't you go fishing yesterday? I didn't see you bring any fish back.
We planned to, but George's wife threw his fishing tackle away, so we played golf instead.
What did the men do yesterday?
Question 18.
How come we haven't finished the project?
We could make it a lot faster if you stopped clowning around.
What does the woman suggest the man do?
Now you'll hear the two long conversations. Conversation 1. Morning, Brenda.
Good morning, Mr. Browning.
Did you put that ad in yesterday?
Yes, yesterday afternoon.
The ad for a junior sales manager, I mean.
Yes, it went into the Standard and the Evening News.
That's good. Well...
What kind of person have you got in mind for this job?
Oh, well, somebody fairly young, you know, 20-something, like 21 or 25. A man, I think.
A man?
We really need a man for the position. Yes, I mean, it's really too demanding. The sort of situations they get into are much too difficult for a young woman to deal with.
What sort of a young man have you got in mind?
Oh, you know, a good education, polite, responsible, and easy to get along with. What I don't want is one of those young men just out of university with exaggerated ideas of his own importance.
Yes. What sort of education are you actually looking for?
Well, you know, a couple of A-levels. Must have English, of course.
Yes. I think you're asking quite a lot. I mean, you're not really prepared to pay all.
No, I'm not prepared to give him a big salary to start with. Nevertheless, I want someone with plenty of ambition, plenty of drive. You know, not looking at the clock all the time.
Well, sir, I wish you the best of luck and hope you have some very successful interviews.
Well, yes.
Because personally, I think you're asking an awful lot.
Questions 19 to 21 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 19. What did Mr. Browning ask Brenda to do? Question 20. What kind of person will meet the job requirements? Question 21. What does Brenda think of the qualifications Mr. Browning insists on? Conversation 2.
Dr. Smith, I need to ask you about something in Chapter 12. Well, it talks about erosion and the deposit of sediment, solid matter that settles at the bottom of a liquid, on the deep sea floor. But I'm confused. For that to happen, there would have to be some kind of force down there moving the mud or sand or whatever, right? But I thought there weren't any waves or currents that deep in the ocean.
That's not exactly correct. It's true that deep down on the ocean floor, we won't have the same kinds of currents we find in shallower parts. But we do find what we call turbidity currents. This wasn't in the book, but the term came up in class. Do you remember what it means?
Turbidity currents. Oh, yeah. Isn't that when sediment, like sand or mud, gets stirred up and mixes with water? And then this mixture flows through the water around it, right?
Good.
Ah, but I thought that only happened in rivers.
Well, yes, this does occur in rivers, but we see turbidity currents deep in the ocean as well.
But how do they get started there?
Earthquakes, mostly. When an earthquake occurs underwater, it throws up tremendous amounts of mud or sand that becomes suspended in a layer of water near the bottom of the ocean. This layer is so much denser and heavier than other ocean water that it flows right down the slopes of the ocean floor and gains more and more speed as it moves along. Then it's just like the winds blowing across the desert, picking up sand from one place and moving it along and finally dropping it somewhere else.
Questions 22 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 22. What is the main topic of the discussion?
Question 23. What does the professor ask the student to explain?
Question 24. According to the professor, how do earthquakes cause turbidity currents?
Question 25. Why does the professor mention desert winds?
Section B. Directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center.
Passage 1.
1,004 girls were born in Delhi for every 1,000 boys in 2008. More girls than boys for the first time, according to official figures, after parents were given cash bonuses of £125 for each new daughter as part of a drive to stamp out female infanticide. Government officials cited the statistics as evidence that India is finally winning its war against the killing of unborn and baby girls, a practice estimated to account for as many as 50 million Indian women having gone missing, according to UNICEF. However, experts said that the improvement in Delhi was too sudden to be credible and was likely to be the result of more families registering daughters to claim the cash benefits rather than a genuine rise in the numbers of girls being born. In the period from 2005 to 2007, only 871 girls had been born in Delhi per 1,000 boys, according to the Registrar General, births and deaths. While demographers consider the natural ratio at birth to be about 960 females per 1,000 males. The skewed sex ratio is the product of millions of illegal abortions of female fetuses and of the widespread murder of baby girls, experts say. Abortions are most common among rich couples who can afford ultrasound scans to illegally check their unborn baby's sex, according to research by the UNPF. Girls are prejudiced against largely because of the dowry system and inheritance practices tilted in favor of men. Illegal ultrasound sex tests are often advertised with catchphrases such as "spend 600 rupees now and save 50,000 rupees later."
Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 26.
What led to the rise in the birth of more baby girls than boys in India?
Question 27.
How do experts think of the figures of baby birth given by Indian government?
Question 28.
According to the passage, for what reason are girls prejudiced against in India?
Passage 2. Almost two centuries ago, humans enjoyed their first airborne ride in a hot air balloon. Passengers rode in a basket fastened below the balloon. These brave adventurers depended solely on the wind velocity and direction to move them about because of the lack of a steering mechanism. Germany began producing and using airships about 46 years later with its famous Zeppelins, named in honor of their inventor, Count von Zeppelin. The largest and probably most famous of Germany's airship was the Hindenburg, which could travel at 85 miles per hour. Later, the two countries bordering on the English Channel, Great Britain and France, built smaller airships called blimps. The latter airships were intended for patrolling the coast and observing submarine activity, while the former served as passenger and cargo ships.
Questions 29 to 31 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 29. Why was it difficult to fly in the air-filled balloons of 200 years ago?
Question 30. Which of the following countries was not involved in the production of airships?
Question 31. What was the purpose of building smaller airships? Passage 3. Albert Schweitzer was born in 1875 in Alsace. At that time, it was a part of Germany. His generous spirit was first awakened through his training as a preacher. Besides gaining a reputation as a preacher, he also became respected for his ability to play the organ. He was a man of many talents. His concern for other people turned his attention to medicine. He had also acquired doctoral degrees in philosophy and music. His wife took an interest in medicine also and became a nurse. Many people thought that he should remain and lecture in Europe to have a strong impact on Western civilization. Though he listened to their suggestions, he ultimately decided to follow his own conscience. This led him to Africa. Albert had felt that all men should accept the responsibility of helping others. He felt particularly concerned for black Africans who had been exploited by white men. He earned the money he needed by performing on the organ and by lecturing. With this money, he bought equipment and opened a hospital in Africa. He was a man of great strength who faced great problems with courage. The threat of war, the reality of imprisonment during World War I as a German citizen, and the unbearable heat in Africa did not make him retreat at all. He believed that a man could overcome all these obstacles if he had a sense of idealism. He died in 1965.
Questions 32 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 32. How was Albert's generous spirit awakened?
Question 33. What was he respected for?
Question 34. According to Albert, what should all men accept?
Question 35. What kind of man is Albert?
Section C. Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage three times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks numbered from 36 to 43 with the exact words you have just heard. For blanks numbered from 44 to 46, you are required to fill in the missing information. For these blanks, you can either use the exact words you have just heard or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written. Now, listen to the passage.
Confidence is a trait that must be nurtured by confronting fears. Follow these tips. You will propel yourself to amazing heights. 1. Acknowledge self-doubt when it appears. What ifs can shake your self-belief? Rather than beating yourself up for feeling doubtful, acknowledge it and let it pass. Your goal is not to rid yourself of that feeling, but to empower yourself to take action even when you feel inadequate. 2. Educate yourself with real-world experiences. Investigate what other successful people have done to begin new projects and overcome roadblocks along the way. If you're launching a new product, research your marketplace by visiting stores and speaking to clerks and customers. Knowledge is your shield when someone disagrees with a business idea, and it's a sword to cut to the heart of what really matters. Learn workable strategies by connecting with experts, visiting a small business development center, or researching at the library. 3. Break out of your comfort zone by trying something new. By trying something new on a regular basis, you lessen your fear and learn you can manage and recover from any consequence. Start with a small undertaking and then build upon it. It can be an activity you've been afraid to try, such as karate or scuba diving. 4. When you get stuck, develop a question of the day. Realize someone has been in your same situation. Form your obstacle into a question and ask colleagues and friends how to overcome it. Even if they don't know the answer, someone they know may give you insight that leads to an answer.
Now the passage will be read again.
Confidence is a trait that must be nurtured by confronting fears. Follow these tips. You will propel yourself to amazing heights. 1. Acknowledge self-doubt when it appears. What ifs can shake your self-belief? Rather than beating yourself up for feeling doubtful, acknowledge it and let it pass. Your goal is not to rid yourself of that feeling, but to empower yourself to take action even when you feel inadequate. 2. Educate yourself with real-world experiences. Investigate what other successful people have done to begin new projects and overcome roadblocks along the way. If you're launching a new product, research your marketplace by visiting stores and speaking to clerks and customers. Knowledge is your shield when someone disagrees with a business idea, and it's a sword to cut to the heart of what really matters.
Learn workable strategies by connecting with experts, visiting a small business development center, or researching at the library. 3. Break out of your comfort zone by trying something new. By trying something new on a regular basis, you lessen your fear and learn you can manage and recover from any consequence. Start with a small undertaking and then build upon it. It can be an activity you've been afraid to try, such as karate or scuba diving. 4. When you get stuck, develop a question of the day. Realize someone has been in your same situation. Form your obstacle into a question and ask colleagues and friends how to overcome it. Even if they don't know the answer, someone they know may give you insight that leads to an answer.
Now the passage will be read for the third time.
Confidence is a trait that must be nurtured by confronting fears. Follow these tips. You will propel yourself to amazing heights. 1. Acknowledge self-doubt when it appears. What ifs can shake your self-belief? Rather than beating yourself up for feeling doubtful, acknowledge it and let it pass. Your goal is not to rid yourself of that feeling, but to empower yourself to take action even when you feel inadequate. 2. Educate yourself with real-world experiences. Investigate what other successful people have done to begin new projects and overcome roadblocks along the way. If you're launching a new product, research your marketplace by visiting stores and speaking to clerks and customers. Knowledge is your shield when someone disagrees with a business idea, and it's a sword to cut to the heart of what really matters. Learn workable strategies by connecting with experts, visiting a small business development center, or researching at the library. 3. Break out of your comfort zone by trying something new. By trying something new on a regular basis, you lessen your fear and learn you can manage and recover from any consequence. Start with a small undertaking and then build upon it. It can be an activity you've been afraid to try, such as karate or scuba diving. 4. When you get stuck, develop a question of the day. Realize someone has been in your same situation. Form your obstacle into a question and ask colleagues and friends how to overcome it. Even if they don't know the answer, someone they know may give you insight that leads to an answer.
This is the end of Listening Comprehension.